you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Wednesday, July 31st, the last day of July 2019. And for the third straight week in a row, joining us, Rob Seidenberg. What cap are you wearing? Let's see, we've had the...
Park Ranger.
Ranger.
Ranger Rob, yeah.
And then we had the Wordsmith.
Yeah, please now, don't be that again.
Are you the content contributor this time?
I am the content contributor. Yes,
okay,
sir.
Rob, right. The content contributor, Seidenberg, or should we say married to Mary?
There you go, Mr. Yeah, Mary.
Mr. Mary.
Mr. Mary.
And I don't even know where to start. We had so much fun. We were telling jokes beforehand, and then it's like, hey, we got to pray now. And that was kind of a joke because it's like, okay, you go first. Let's get the instruction. I'll share this with the listeners. It's kind of funny. So we've had a number of guests here. You've heard them on Testimony Tuesdays or Memorization Mondays, and we always have a practice because of where Marianne's seated. Like, Marianne, how about you open in prayer? Mm-hmm. And then I usually point to the special guest. You know, then if you want to say a few words, and usually depending on how well I know them or their faith journey, I'll say, are you comfortable praying? You know, do you mind praying and participating? And usually they say, oh, sure. Then I'll close in prayer, and then we're looking at the clock, our countdown, and we'll begin the broadcast. Well, I don't know how many times, Mary, had that after explaining it that simply, then there's like this, you pray, and then there's a big pause.
Well, they don't know what to do.
Should I pray? And it's like, yeah, that's kind of what we just went over. And,
now you're explaining it more succinctly and in detail.
Anyway, so if you're a future guest, you'll understand. But anyway, so we were laughing with Rob because, there's been a time or two where he's recognized like, oh, yeah, am I supposed to pray? Do you want me to pray? Or who prays first? Or when do we start? And so we're all prayed up, but we had a little laugh over
Hopefully people found that entertaining.
So when you come here, we're going to pray before the program. And part of our desire in praying is asking God to work through the broadcast, maybe something that's said or shared or referred to, or a story or an illustration that's given is something that you're pondering or thinking about, or when God's word is divided, it might be something that needs to be fed to you, maybe to bring healthy conviction or insight, or maybe it's something you're wrestling with and you're looking for an answer, so it gets addressed somehow. Or we've seen or we've heard many times, we might give a dog story, and somebody later on will say, oh, I love that illustration that you gave about the cat. And we're like,
I mean, even I've experienced that when you're listening to something on the radio and your mind kind of takes it and runs, and you're thinking of, you know, grandma's cat or whatever, and pretty soon it was all about that.
And that's part of the show prep. Marianne has heard me maybe say it a few hundred different times with different guests,
and I've experienced it on the other
That's, people are in and out of their cars, they might hear a portion of the broadcast, or we refer to Amazing Grace and then they think of their grandmother singing that when they grew up.
Sure.
And so
I am right now,
they hear they kind of hear a whole message about the love that their grandmother showed, and said, I love the program that you're talking about God's love. And we're like, really? We were talking about these other things. So all to say that when we pray up the program, we kind of never know what you're going to glean from it. We trust and hope, because as we ask God to intercede, to use what's said and shared in your life, that it will be impactful or helpful. Or maybe it's even just some of the fun or the humor that lightens your load. Or, you know, maybe it's when a husband honors his wife and says, you know, why she's God's gift to him, the unique storytelling or something that's shared. So,
And Mark, even beyond the spiritual benefits of some of these programs, a good program can help your grammar, too.
Speaking of which, we will be addressing grammar on this program today.
Well, I just have to add that I've always, all these years, appreciated so much that you do pray before every single broadcast. Yeah. I think that's so good. Great,
yeah,
Mark.
Like 23 years.
Yeah, and you also pray almost every time. I mean, you pray different things, but you almost always pray that whatever part of a program people hear or whatever they do here, that it'll all go to God's glory and be a blessing. And that's so great.
Well, this is his ministry, and as we steward the time. I know sometimes, I know you never can determine, you know, what you're saying, if it has an impact. And hopefully, I pray that it doesn't have a negative impact or it's be like
that's,
oh,
that's
gosh.
That's good to pray, though. That's humble.
But we're human, and sometimes I tell people, you get what you pay for. So if you're not donating and helping, hey, don't complain.
No.
Those of you major donors, you know.
You're doing so well.
Please keep giving. So anyways, we're all prayed up. We just trust that God will use not just our 23 or so minutes, but the Bible teaching, the inspirational music. There's just so many things about this radio ministry. I mean, I benefit by tuning in all the time to listen.
Me too.
And just love the thoughts that are given or the truths that are gleaned or just the practical insights, however the Holy Spirit might bring, you know, an idea to mind or a concept that's shared. Or I like when you get a new insight into a Bible passage you've heard or read your whole life. Mm-hmm. And that's like, wow, I've never thought of it that way. So.
Yeah, I don't know how many times I have tuned into somebody like David Jeremiah or somebody, and they're talking about a subject I've been thinking about or need to think about. Or it's so appropriate. It's
years
amazing.
Ago, I went to a doctor, and he said, "You're a believer, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I don't sleep much at night. I sleep a little here and there." But he said, "I get up and turn on Christian radio." He said, "I have a question for you." He said, "I heard three messages in a row last night on the same topic by completely different guys from different parts of the country."
Oh, interesting.
He said, "Do they have a schedule or something?" I said, "No, but God does."
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, good way to answer that, too.
That is a great story.
Yeah, what do they call that? The pattern of threes? Like where you take notice that if your friends are talking about, just say grace is the theme. They're talking about, oh, isn't God's grace wonderful? And you kind of have that. And then you tune in the radio and you hear a message on God's grace. And then you're reading a book and then the theme of that chapter is on God's grace. Hmm. Many times people say that pattern of three is where God's emphasizing or there's a principle or a concept that he wants to drive home to you. And oftentimes you'll see it three different ways or exposed to it three different ways.
In public speaking, using something, a list of three things or using three synonyms or something like that is a really powerful technique. And nobody can figure out quite what it is. But like God, we are in a sense tripartite. We're body, soul, and spirit. And so really I think that might be part of the key to that. I'm not.
Yeah, and the triune God.
Yeah. He's in three parts, and we're... Yeah.
And see, I hate to say this, but while I'm sitting here listening to Rob, all I can see is commas between those three words.
One was an M-dash.
I did. I visualized synonym, comma.
Well, I know we have a full program being Wednesday. It's the Prime Life Times in Review, and our August edition arrived yesterday a little early, so it's being delivered to our 300-plus area locations covering 16 counties now, I think 5 counties in Indiana, 11 in Illinois, and so we appreciate all those deliverers that are making the stops and getting them into the various locations. So if you pick up your Prime Life Times, expect it at your location in the next day or two for sure. And so, it's getting expansive all the way down beyond Arthur Arcola and Rockville, Indiana, and Covington and other places on the border there. Yeah, and Danville. And
thank you so much, everybody, for these comments that have been coming in. So appreciative about the paper and, complimenting writers and just they like it and everything. It's just, I'm very grateful.
And then how about the photographs that are being submitted of people holding the Prime Life Times? I know
we're in the world is the Prime Life
so
Times.
Many. So many. I love it.
Fun. And we're going to have to feature a whole page of some
that
of you holding
great,
the Prime
got,
Life Times.
That would be great because we've got, just keep sending them.
Yeah,
that's
keep
great.
Sending it. So get a copy, an edition of the Prime Life Times, and whether it's on vacation or a
or
unique
just at
setting
house.
At your home, out in a restaurant, somewhere reading it, get a little selfie or have somebody take a picture.
And if you
it.
Can, if you can, have a local landmark in the background, like the Capitol building in some city, some capital city.
Like Springfield.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I hadn't.
And while you're down there, do some praying.
That's right. Yeah. Pray around the cattle.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you know, it could be mountains in Colorado or who knows what.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I kinda
surprise us.
I want somebody to go out to that red bridge at Lake of the Woods. I love that. That Japanese kind of bridge with the big red painting. Take a picture there. Yeah.
Well,
that's
Janine,
a local landmark.
Janine Keller, I think she submitted 6 or 8. She was on this bike tour, bike trip.
Wow.
And so, like, along Lake Michigan in this part over here.
And she showed some background.
Very colorful.
It was hard for me to choose which one of hers to use, but I did choose one.
What did they win if they get featured?
Well, everybody gets a gift card.
A Tootsie Pop.
Yeah, that's it. And then, but at the end of the year, we'll choose one.
Grand winner.
But everybody gets something.
Yeah, so. Okay. There's
prizes. We're behind on that, folks. If you haven't gotten yours yet, we know that.
Okay. And with Culver's opening up really soon.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm trying to work out that Turtle Sunday to include that in the package gift.
What Turtle Sunday?
They give out Turtle Sundays on people's birthdays.
You know a lot about food things, like giveaway birthday cards.
That's a good resource, isn't it?
And then when Chick-fil-A opens up, I'm going to see if I can get something included. So there's like a package prize that everyone gets along with the super prize.
Well, you're so funny, Mark. We interviewed Chick-fil-A, and the next day on your Facebook pops up you and the family at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, that was actually in Baton Rouge. That was a getaway for the weekend. So we had it 3 days in a row. And when I flew in, I got in late at night, and so we had Chick-fil-A. Then the next day we had Chick-fil-A, and then when I returned home, we had Chick-fil-A.
Well, David looked like he'd been working out.
Yeah, he's in good shape.
Eating chicken and working out, huh?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Something like that.
But actually, on Monday, I saw one of their Facebook posts. They took you through their facility that's being built. So they said, you know, the walls are being put up and stuff.
They have some months away.
Really? So if you go
to
Chick-fil-A Champagne. Well, it's a Facebook post.
A virtual tour.
So he and his wife.
So I don't need to feel left out.
And the family. Yeah. They all, like, had a little speaking part. And here's where the kitchen is going to be.
Now, is this the new manager for here?
Yeah, Bob. I hope to have him on. Corporate hasn't given him the clearance to be interviewed yet.
Oh.
Yeah.
But it seems like corporate will give
you
the okay.
You think they'd want that.
I know, but I think they want to make sure, you know, maybe they want
that we're okay.
Yeah, we're okay. Or they. He has some talking points or something.
Maybe if they go to your Facebook page and see you in Chick-fil-A all over the country.
Baton Rouge, yeah. That's right.
All right, it's Wednesday. It's Prime Life Times in Review.
I know. We got to read stuff.
We're looking at the August edition. Where do you want to begin? Take it away, Editor-in-Chief.
Oh, thank you. Okay, well, since you're here, Rob, I think we should read yours first. If we run out of time, we can always read Joey's next week.
I feel deferred to.
Okay.
So this is what you've all been waiting for. If you've read the first part of the Wordsmiths Workshop article in July, it was called How We Got Our Language, Part 1. And that wasn't really how we got the first part of the language. It was the first part of how we got our language.
So this isn't just taking us A through like L.
No. This is how we got our language
that
part 2.
That was that article that got complicated. Remember, Mark?
Yeah. Got complicated quick.
Yeah, real quick.
Yeah. And I want to apologize for an error in the article last month.
Oh, let's point that out real quick.
Yeah. Jutland is in southern Denmark, not northern Denmark.
Everybody would have stumbled over
the mailbags were filled with complaints about that error.
Yeah,
several Danes complained. So, okay, the last linguistically significant invasion of Britain. Remember, we had a series of invasions. 1066, that's the phone number of the English department,
Put your thinking caps on.
Was that of William the Conqueror. Vikings, weary of raiding along shores and up creeks and rivers to take home gold and silver for taxes to their Nordic king, founded the Duchy of Normandy in 911 after being defeated by the French.
When that 9/11, that is literally...
Oh,
that was. It was
9/11 A.D., right?
Yeah. Wow. It was. That's quick, Mark.
It was, Mark. Very good. Duke Rollo, a Norse Viking, promised fealty to Louis the Child, l'enfant, right? The infant. King of West Francia, and signed the Saint-Clair-sur-Epte Treaty.
Is this French?
It is. Maybe he should have waited for that young king to die in September the same year. Rollo had captured Normandy in 876. The early Norman kings of England spoke no English. William brought
along... I speak no English.
Right.
Sorry.
In fact,
okay, wait, let's lay the context, because somebody just tuned in for the first time. They're like, now what's this article about?
This is about how we got English, but the irony is...
You're listening to Great News Radio.
That's right. The irony is the Welsh lived there, the Scots lived there, the Picts lived there, and these people spoke their own versions of Gaelic, and yet we have 11 Gaelic words in English that could be identified. And the Romans were there for centuries, and they didn't have much, leave much influence, a few milestones. And then this guy, William, comes over, right? It seemed that the invaders had the real influence.
Somebody just tuned in for the first time trying to understand, now what's the concept of these articles, how we got our language, and oftentimes conquerors, those that took over peoples and decimated maybe the existing language or whatever was spoken, they say, hey, we're in charge, we're the kings, you're going to speak our language. And even biblically, we know that happened when they came in, the Assyrians or the Babylonians and such. But this is to help us understand how English became the spoken language.
That's right.
And we just finished paragraph two.
Okay. We'll be right along.
I feel really smart sitting next to Rob.
The early Norman kings of England spoke no English. William brought along his own nobles, rewarding them with generous gifts of land. These new nobles talked about the meat on their tables using their Nordic French dialect, pork, mouton, poulet, and bœuf, which Anglo-Saxon servants called pig, sheep, chicken, and kine. We kept the anglicized version, and I'll add, of the French. Historians believe Henry IV, who reigned from 1399 to 1413, was the first English king to speak English as his primary language. Some previous Norman kings certainly understood spoken English. 14-year-old Richard II, who reigned 1377 to 1399, spoke to a rioting crowd in English during the 1381 Peasants' Revolt, but his court language was French. English was used for court business by the early 1400s, and the Norman French language began to die out in Britain. Besides words for meats, household items, and military terms, the Normans brought a plethora, that means a whole lot, of French words into English. Such legal and governmental terms as parliament, jury, and justice, for instance. These diverse linguistic elements combined in Middle English, the language of the common people. Though still quite Germanic, it did sound something like modern English. Chaucer wrote his Canterbury Tales in Middle English in the late 1300s. In 1476, William Caxton, a British merchant, returned to England from the Netherlands with England's first printing press. Printing lowered the price of books dramatically. Soon, a simple plowboy could afford one. Cheap books contributed to literacy and education. Not until the 1500s did modern English exist.
Ah, so we're looking really from about the 1500s on.
Yeah, breathe a sigh of relief.
We could finally have understood and been understood with today's English, certainly by the end of the 16th century. That and the next century saw two phenomena that contributed greatly to our language. The first comprised of writings and theater presentations of William Shakespeare. He added lots of words to English and taught everyone in England how to pronounce them. The second was a publication of the Authorized, or King James Version, of the Bible.
Yay.
1611. Mm. Yeah, I can recommend some good books about that. Awesome, awesome event. A third crucial event probably couldn't have happened without the first two. It was the April 4, 1775 publication of Samuel Johnson's Dictionary of the English Language. English would then be further expanded and enriched by local dialects spoken around the world. In the United States, Native American, Dutch, German, and Spanish words entered English. They spread to the mother country and were soon adopted by the British. Despite what we know about the history of English, there will always be mysteries. Yep. For instance, linguists and lexicographers don't know where we got our words bad, big, bird, boy, blight, curse, dog, donkey, doodah, doozy, fun, fuss, girl, kick, log, surf, tantrum, or toad.
We don't know where we got the word girl.
Well, we know where boys and girls come from, but we don't know how we got the words for them.
That was quick. Okay.
Contributions from so many languages resulted in many synonyms. These permit English speakers to choose subtle nuances of meaning, to shade their meaning, you might say. That richness of vocabulary is a great strength of our language. New terms enter the language each year. Many have forgotten that radar was an acronym for radio detecting and ranging. Laser meant light amplification by stimulated emission of radiation. The CARE and CARE package meant Cooperative for American Remittances to Europe. TASER stood for Thomas A. Swift's Electronic Rifle. SCUBA meant self-contained underwater breathing apparatus. Extravagant borrowing from other languages and ongoing coining of new terms for inventions resulted in a unique and very useful language, English.
All right, everyone. Thank you,
wow.
English. Thank you,
well,
English.
Well, now, if you memorize all this laser care and all that and what they stand for, you could sound really smart.
You could, yeah. You can memorize that if you like.
Whew, let's put that one to rest.
Oh,
okay. Mark knows more than he wanted to know about English now. Okay.
Wow.
Mark's an English teacher, by the way. So.
Okay, I just have to say, when you're reading all this, and it's fairly complicated, and you get to the word plethora, and you explain to us what that means, you define it for us. I knew that word, and it reminded me of the book of Revelation. They go through all these symbols, and then they come to this part about the saints in their linen robes, and there's a parenthesis, and it says, the linen robes stand for the good works of the saints. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank
right.
you. One single explanation
in the whole
of
thing.
All these
yeah.
symbols.
Yeah.
It's like, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It's very neat.
Yeah, I've heard, I have a plethora of ideas.
That's yes, what
I've heard. You
do
indeed, Mark.
Yes, you do.
Oh, the Feel August edition of the Prime Lifetime. Many other
that's the
easier
heaviest
to
one.
Read
that's
stories.
The heaviest of all.
And insightful works and contributions from many great authors and artists and
yeah.
And besides
writers.
Them, from me.
Yes.
Yes.
Yours
this,
truly.
Besides the great articles,
I really,
there are some from me.
People learn from your articles, Rob. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow, so many other good ones, and the puzzles, and the cartoons, and the...
Did we get back to Janine's
picture? We did not.
Picture?
Oh, no.
Tell everybody
not
where
really.
That
we
is.
Should. Cutie. Let's see, where is
B5.
That?
B5. Be sure and look it up. It's a great picture. B5. Where in the world's the Prime Lifetimes? It's traveling across the state of Michigan with Janine Keller.
Yeah, and you can see, if you like, you can see the beautiful waters of the
yeah,
lake.
Yeah,
one of the Great Lakes. You figure out which one.
Michigan.
Yeah. That's right next to letting go and
right there
trusting
on it.
God.
Yeah, but
yeah.
they have to read the Prime Lifetimes
oh,
to find
okay.
it out.
Oh, I'm sorry. I gave it away.
All right. Well, we're giving away copies free at over 300 area locations, so you can read all about it. There's a lot of great articles, a lot of good content in this month's edition. We're excited, and we're already working on September and October. It just
and November.
Wants to be fed and cared for, and it's a great, positive, engaging, and informative newspaper, and we trust that as you read it, you'll give glory to God for some of the great content, the information, the recipes.
Yeah, you know, I almost backslid from my diabetic diet.
Oh, with one of the recipes?
Yeah, you bet.
I
and
backslide every
Jiffy
time she
dessert,
writes something.
So.
Yeah,
Betty
yeah.
Schmidt.
Yeah, read all about it. B8 in this month's edition of the Prime Lifetimes. Well, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Lifetimes. God bless you, and have a great day and night.